I'm Alfonso Mendoza, host of the My Ed Tech Life podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
The impact of an educator, of a leader, is not determined by their ability to teach students or teach teachers, but rather their ability to learn and be curious.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Hey, leader of learning, and welcome into episode 125. Again, I'm coming out with all new episodes each week in January, kind of to make up for some lost time that we missed in the fall of 2021. But we're in 2022 now, coming out with lots of content for you, and this one is going to be a great one. Here in episode 125, I'm talking to one of, I think, the most influential education leaders there is today, Dr. Salome Thomas L. You might know him otherwise as Principal L on Twitter and social media. He's been an educator since 1987. He received national acclaim as a teacher and a chess coach, where his students have gone on to win world recognition as 8-time national chess champions. He was a regular contributor on the Dr. Oz show. He's an author of best-selling books such as I Choose to Stay, which had movie rights options by Disney Films, The Immortality of Influence, and the most recently released Passionate Leadership. He is someone that I've been trying to get on this show for a while. I heard him speak in person earlier in the school year and finally was able to make it happen. This was a very exciting interview for me to record, and so I know that you're going to get a lot of value out of it. I wanted to make sure that this episode ran at the start of the new year because I know that Principal L is going to be just as inspirational to you as he has been to me. So I want to get right to the interview. So coming right up after these messages is my interview with Dr. Salome Thomas L. Welcome back, Leader of Learning. It is an honor and privilege to bring on someone that I admire so much in the education space, Dr. Salome Thomas L., or more affectionately known on social media probably as Principal L. I got to hear this man speak earlier this year. So inspirational. It's an honor and a privilege to have you on the show. Thanks for joining me here. And if you could, just a little introduction about who you are, where you are, and what you do.
Well, you know, thanks, Dan, for having me. It's an honor and a privilege to be, on your show, just to talk about the power of, of leadership, service, and learning. I'm a kid born and raised in North Philadelphia in the projects, single mom, 8 kids. My mother's actually from New York. I know where you saw me was in Yonkers. My mother grew up right in the Bronx, right in Harlem, moved to Philly, no dad around, so my teachers really supported me in school. I went on to become a teacher and a principal, and wanted to really teach my students critical thinking. I started teaching in a very high needs community in Philadelphia, high murder rate, high crime, drug use. But I knew that the kids, they all had big dreams, and I wanted to help facilitate that. And I started teaching them to play chess, and kids became, national chess champions. And I wrote a book about, the kids. Disney bought the movie rights and wanted me to leave, but I wouldn't leave. That's where my whole I Choose to Stay campaign, comes from, because I'm 35 years in this, man. And I wake up every morning with determination and go to bed with satisfaction. And it's simply because there were teachers and administrators who did the same thing for me, who were leaders, you know, leaders at, you know, you're a leader at all levels, no matter who you are in the building. You know, we had a, when I was in elementary school, we had a janitor who was like a father figure to everybody. We thought he lived inside the building, but everybody in the school, you know, as you know, because you've been doing this a while, everybody has a role in the culture of the school, but also in the providing, you know, leadership as well. And so I've been a teacher and principal again for 35 years. I've been in my current school in Wilmington, Delaware, for almost 12 years now, and I've been, you know, principal at this school. And it's a pleasure and an honor. It's tough going through COVID right now. So I'm sure there are many, you know, other administrators out there, you know, who are struggling, but we're still here, you know, in the fight. And I'm honored to be serving, you know, along with you in this ministry, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. So we'll talk, we'll dive in deeper to a lot of the things you said. But what I want to start with is you glossed over it a little bit. I would love to hear, and I've heard you speak live in person, but on other podcasts as well, and telling the story about how you inspired and really molded. You know, you talk about how everyone could be leaders, but the kids, the students themselves can be leaders. And you helped, you have helped for many years now make leaders of students through the game of chess. In a nutshell, how did that get started and how did it get to be to the point that it has gotten? Because I mean Disney bought the rights to the movie, so I mean it's taken off. It really has. How did we get there?
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, it's kind of strange how you actually see the connection with, because we talk about how everybody in the school, you know, has, they have leadership roles, and students do as well. Most people don't ask me about that. But, you know, you being the person you are, I mean, because that's what I wanted for the young people. Sure, I wanted them to become good chess players, but I really wanted them to develop their character, their leadership skills, critical thinking, problem solving, reasoning, patience are all important for chess players, but very important for leaders as well. And I actually have students who were in my chess program in the 90s, who are now teachers. One is now a principal at a school near me, one of my former chess players. You know, and it was so important because I knew that these young people in the inner city, they all want to be Michael Jordan, LeBron James. You know, they all want to make the NFL and NBA. But I know that that's one in a million shot for our young people. So I wanted to give them the opportunity to find success in other areas. And I was an athlete. I was a high school athlete. You know, I played ball, and my teachers, you know, told me, they were honest with me and told me early on in my career, son, you can't jump over a credit card. So you are not going to the NBA, but you're smart enough to get an MBA. And it really touched me. And I really focused on school and college, didn't focus on sports, came back. When I became a teacher, I wanted to find a way to teach students that they can choose the behavior, but they can't choose the consequences. And that was the power of chess. Chess is a great equalizer. Because whenever you start learning chess, you're going to be the worst player in the room. But these young people teach themselves to play, and then they teach one another. So it builds camaraderie, you know, it builds relationships. And it's intergenerational because these young people playing chess matches against older players, me, teachers, other players in tournaments, and they're having conversations, you know, with older adults and really learning about life. And they often talk about, when I interview these students, they talk about how being in the program and traveling all over the country, because these are inner city kids, 10, 11, 12 years old, traveling to San Diego, California, Dallas, Texas, Orlando, Florida, coming to New York City and getting that work from the great chess players in New York City, coming to Connecticut, because we actually played in a tournament once at the Bradley Airport. There's a hotel there. They would host one there every year. So there was strong academics, but also exposure. There's an achievement gap, but there's a large exposure gap as well. As you know from the students that you work with, you know that when they don't come from those very successful communities, oftentimes they won't have that exposure, but we can provide that. And that's what chess did for these young people. And I mean, it was amazing because I just wanted them to become good chess players, but they took it to another level. Started beating college chess teams, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger came to visit the school and challenged one of my young ladies, and she checkmated Arnold, and he wrote a check for $20,000 for our program. Then he wrote the foreword in my first book, the book that Disney bought the movie rights. But again, it was really all about teaching these students that they're leaders at a young age. They can be examples for others and go on to do great things. And that's probably what I'm most proud of, is that many of them are very active in education and politics in Philadelphia and in Wilmington, you know, Delaware as well.
One of the things that that those stories conjure in my mind is not only the aspect of those experiences for students that are not just teaching them chess, but teaching them, you know, life skills and leadership skills, but also the fact that, I mean, listen, you mentioned that you played sports growing up. I did too, but I was mostly a musician, actually, as I was going through my middle school and high school and college years. And I'm definitely someone who really values those kind of extracurriculars, not just for keeping students busy and active, but that those activities and those lessons teach students so much more than what they can get in their main content areas or what they can get in their classrooms in general. You know, I was actually just a guest on someone else's show a week or two ago, and one of the things that I said that I was really hoping that COVID and COVID times in education would bring out are those aspects of education. But in reality, I don't know about you, I feel like, unfortunately, we've gone too far back to these are the numbers and this is what we're expecting and these are the standardized assessments, instead of what were the things that kids were really supposed to get out of COVID and being learning remotely and not being able to be in schools in person. And I've been a little disappointed by that, to be honest with you, because I think opportunities like playing chess or sports, or heck, for my 11-year-old son, my son is in sixth grade, honestly, video games have been a major outlet for him and even for learning. So that's what I think of when I think about those stories of your chess students, your chess players.
And after school, and as you said, I mean, after school programs are so important. You talked about a couple things important to me. Music, because many of my chess players were also musicians. There's a strong correlation. I actually tried music. I was, you know, trying to sing a little bit, but everybody kept telling me to sing solo. And I said, solo? They said, yeah, it's so low that we can't hear you. So I knew that music was, my brother was, I just lost my brother early this year, my oldest brother. And he was an amazing guitar player, man. Big Jimi Hendrix fan, big Carlos Santana fan. But also those after school programs are great opportunities for students to make connections. Sometimes the 8 o'clock, the 3 o'clock is just not going to always be do it for some young people. Some of them need that after school time. And so we've got to make sure that we're investing in those after school activities and programs for those students who may struggle in some of those academic areas, but may light a fire. May have their fire lit in after school, then come back during the school day and say, hey, I'm a new person. And then finally, you talked about this whole pandemic, what we've been going through, and everything's always been, let's get the kids caught up. Let's catch them up. Catch them up to what? You know, we were struggling before the pandemic. Let's get back to teaching children what they need. Let's get back to focusing on these relationships that we know. I've never had a student come to me and say, you know what? I was successful because you guys kept giving me high-stakes standardized tests every week, every month, every year. I've never had a student say, I did great on the SAT or ACT, ACT because you tested me so much. No, and I have, you know, chess players who had UVA, you know, Cornell. You know, we have them, you know, they're out on the West Coast, in the South, they're everywhere. None of them, they always talk about the adults who played an important and powerful role in their lives in school and then outside of school. They talk about the teachers and administrators who came to attend their games and events outside of schools, who helped their family when they needed some food or when they were homeless, they may have needed some shelter, but just people who they knew were genuinely interested in helping them just be a better person, a better student the next day, and not necessarily focus on making sure you had the highest test score in the state or in the school. So yes, we need to get back to what we know works for our young people. As administrators, as leaders, let's be visible. Let's communicate our hopes and dreams for our young people and our teachers. Let's be models, let's be examples, and let's make sure also that we're willing to seek the input of our staff members, learn from them, and listen. And again, be learners. This is the Leader of Learning podcast, folks. The impact of an educator, of a leader, is not determined by their ability to teach students or teach teachers, but rather their ability to learn and be curious. That will determine the impact of an educator and a leader. Are we willing to learn and listen to others?
Yeah, I mean, I love that you said that. And, you know, my listeners know that I talk a lot about transformational leadership and talk about how anyone really can be a leader if they choose to be, no matter what their role is or what title they have in education. Something that we were actually talking about even before we hit record was that aspect of leadership, to not just, you know, again, and it doesn't matter what role you're in. You could be a classroom teacher working with students. You could be a principal working with a team of administrators and a whole staff in a building. But understanding the importance of and the ability to really inspire and empower others. Like you were talking a few minutes ago about, I think you said a janitor who was like a father figure in the building. I experienced that at the last school I was at. You mentioned the district before, with school safety officers who were like the godfathers and grandfathers in the building, and students would come to them and show them a lot of respect and open up to them and confide in them. And it was amazing to see. But as leaders, whether it's a new leader, sometimes maybe it's a veteran leader, still trying to figure that out, how do we do that more? Because I think that we're still just not seeing it enough. You know, I shared with you experiences that I've had in my career with leaders who just haven't been able to understand that. And, you know, when I talk about transformational leadership all the time, it's not about coming in and quote unquote transforming a building or a staff. It's empowering everyone to want to be a part of the journey toward a shared mission or vision. To me, that's literally the dictionary definition of transformational leadership, but people don't get that. So what is it? You know, what do they need to understand?
Yeah, and I mean, and you say to me, but it is, I mean, to me is important, because we know that there are people who know that is the definition, but they still won't follow it. You know, that's knowing and not doing, right? That's one of the biggest mistakes a leader can make. You know, when you know the right thing to do, but you don't do it, that's arrogance, right? Arrogance is the Achilles heel of the school leader. Again, transformational leadership is not transforming, it's not changing everything, right? It's coming in and assessing what needs, right? What, first of all, what are our immediate needs? What are things I need to address right away? And also being focused, because if we're going to implement with excellence, with fidelity, we need to be focused. So as an administrator, as a leader, as a principal, I can't be involved in 29 different things. That's why I have other administrators. That's why I have teacher leaders. You know, that's how you build capacity in your school. But it begins, you know, you ask me, how do we change that? It begins with how we're training these leaders. We need to train these leaders. Even, you know, right now, you know, teachers are expressing how they're feeling, you know, and leaders need to listen. We need to just say, all right, I know what they told me in grad school. I know what the superintendent told me to do. I know what I learned at the conference. But I also hear you, and I hear you're struggling. I hear you're under stress. I hear you're worried about leaving. So I don't need to come to you with all these additional requirements. I don't need to come with you with all of these responsibilities and adding days to the calendar when I know you're holding on by a thread. I need to hear you, and I need to appreciate you and thank you just for showing up, because some people aren't even showing up. So because you're showing up, I'm thankful and grateful for you. But also, we need to train these leaders to understand that you don't come in, it doesn't make you a great leader because you just changed the entire school. There were things, many things that were working in that school, any school that I've gone to, because I've been a turnaround principal in several schools and I've made mistakes. But the one thing I try to do is I make sure that I find out who the storytellers are in the building. Who's been around for 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Who can tell me how the school has changed for good or for bad? I need you to help me. I need you to help me develop a plan so we can roll it out to our teams and to our staff, and then get their input on what they want. What do you want to see in your school? Because when you get that buy-in, that's when they choose to stay. That's when they make that decision. Listen, I'm here for the long haul. You know, I have teachers who come to me and say, "Principal L, I'm a lifer." You know, it gives me chills to hear a teacher openly express that and say, "I'm a lifer," because that person knows that when you come to me and you say you need something, I'm going to try my best to get it. And if I can't, I'm going to be honest with you and say, I can't do it. I'm not going to BS you. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to blame it on somebody else. I'm going to say, look, I can do it, or I'll try. And if I can't do it, I'll go out and I'll find some donor. You know, I know some important people. You know, I know Will Smith and some other folks. And sometimes I got to make some calls and say, my district won't do it. I need a little assistance. And, you know, most times these folks don't even call me back. But every now and then I get an email back and say, hey, we'll take care of it. But the idea is that these teachers and staff members appreciate having leaders who understand this work is about service. If you don't serve, you can't lead. That's what this is all about. Being an administrator means you're adding to the ministry. Administrator means you are helping to support people who are in the school and being honest and authentic about it. You know, building a team of people who can support you around your weaknesses, and when you make a mistake, admit it and move on, because then you model that for your teachers, for the staff members. And again, like you said, bus drivers, janitors, cafeteria workers, we all have an opportunity to impact and teach young people every day. We are all leaders in that school, all deserve the same level of respect, and all are making an impact. And that's when you go into a school and you see a strong culture. When you see every person in that building, no matter the paraprofessional, doesn't matter who it is, when you see that person walking around with pride and feeling and knowing that they're valued and they're respected, they will do, and they will walk on water, you know, they'll knock down a wall for the young people, because they know that they are valued, respected, and protected.
You know, I just want to actually piggyback off of what you said for a couple of minutes here, because I want to speak to anyone who might be listening who is a new teacher, or really any classroom teacher, because what you were just saying, I think, had a lot to do with administration. But I want to say, and I know that you would agree with me, to any listeners who are classroom teachers, so much of what Principal L just mentioned can go for you leading in your own classroom as well. Like, I remember, I mean, I can vividly remember, you mentioned before your mom is from the Bronx and Harlem. I got my career started in the Bronx, and I thought I would never be able to connect with some of the students that I had. You know, you might be able to figure out why. I didn't necessarily look like them. I didn't necessarily grow up right near them. And I was afraid that I couldn't connect. And when I really started to take a step back and, like you said, seek out those leaders, not in the school, not among the staff, in my classroom, you know, among the 90-ish students that I taught in those years, I would seek out the quote-unquote student leaders. And I learned fairly early on in my career that the student leaders are not the ones with the best grades. They're not necessarily the ones who will, you know, apply for or make speeches to get onto like student council or honor roll. They're the kids who, when they're absent from your class, the whole dynamic in the room changes, for better or worse, right? Those are the leaders. And I did actually, I mean, I'm not even lying when I say I sought those kids out, even on like in the schoolyard at lunchtime, took the time out to get to know them and speak to them about how's it going. And I would go so far as to ask them, you know, what they liked in teachers or who their favorite teachers were, knowing that I probably hadn't earned that status yet, because I was new and we were new to each other, but I just wanted to hear it from them. And that's the authentic learning for me as an educator. That's what really made me learn how to be better on the job. And so whether it's you leading a school or you leading a classroom, that's the stuff that matters, and that's where the real learning comes in.
Yeah, well, the kids who need the most love ask for it in the most unloving ways. So although, you know, these kids can be cruel sometimes. You notice, I'm sensing you taught in a high school.
Middle school.
Middle school. And you know how middle school, look, anybody who worked in the middle school should get a separate check just for working with adolescents. You know what I mean? It is, it's amazing how one day they're 18 years old, the next day they're 8 years old. Like, they can't decide whether they want to be adults, whether they want to be kids. It's a tough time. But these young people, oftentimes, when we talk to them about, especially the ones that have behavior issues, or the ones who you say, you know, they won't necessarily be on the honor roll, they'll be on the hoagie roll, right? Or they'll not necessarily on student government, or but these students, with the students who weren't successful in school many times, when they are asked, do you have an advocate? Is there someone in the building who you think, you know, really that you can count on? Most times they say no. Those students are more likely to say there's no one in the building who they feel really cares about. And you know, my mantra is that every child deserves to have someone crazy about them. And I truly believe, and I believe that these students oftentimes behave that way or academically are struggling because they're not getting the support they need, but they don't feel like there's anyone that they can count on. So when you seek them out, you know, and find out what it is that they want, nobody's ever asked them. Nobody's ever paid attention. And you're right. Those are the leaders that they have their finger on the pulse of that classroom in the school. And the dynamic does change when out there. Sometimes they're bullies, right? Sometimes they're very disruptive students. But imagine if we reach them and connect with them. Now you've changed a bully, right? Now the classroom feels more comfortable and safer for some other students. And that student now embraces their education in a much more powerful way. So finding those students, and yes, so teachers out there, those out there in the audience, when you are in that classroom is your school. You are the leader. You are the principal in that room. And when Principal L walks in that classroom, my teachers know it. That class does not stop and say, let's see what he has to say. I'm coming in to watch you do your magic. I'm coming in to learn. Now, when I leave, I might hit a little old school rap for them. You know what I mean? You taught in the Bronx. You know, rap is these young people connect with it. But the idea for me is I want to come in and learn and see how you're operating. Because if that teacher's absent, I may have to go in and cover that class. So I want to see, what are the routines in the classroom? What are some of the, who are some of those students that you're focusing on that need that extra attention? Because I know that those are the students that are probably going to end up in my office, more likely than not, but also will probably need some additional support, you know, and services. So as a leader in the classroom, we're developing an environment where students feel empowered. You mentioned the word empowered earlier. That's what good leaders and good teachers do. They empower others. They empower them with love, with grace, with mercy, and understanding, so that they go on and treat others the same way. They go about their job, their work, the same way. And that begins with the relationship that we develop with them. So I often remember those students. I've had some young people over my career that would give an aspirin a headache, right? So I've had some tough ones. But those were the ones, they make us who we are. Right. They really, really help us to really find our why. This is why. This is because that child needed somebody. They needed somebody just to say, who's your favorite teacher? And I know, and listen, and oftentimes they, you know, and it would crush me a little bit because they wouldn't say me. But I didn't earn that. My goal is the one day I want you to say. I want you to say. And it might be 20 years from now. 20 years from now, you might say, man, that man was on my back all the time. But you know what? He really cared about me. And I have students, you know, they find me on social media and say, you know what, man, you really, boy, you know, principal, well, you were hard on me, but I really I needed it at the time. Didn't realize it, but I needed it, and I appreciate it. And that's really what I wanted. I want those students to understand it. I want them in Penn State and not the state pen. And I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen for you. Now, you can decide to go in the career, in the military, any school you want to. But I want to prepare you to be successful no matter the endeavor. That's the goal.
I've heard you say that before. I love that line. You know, I want them to go to Penn State and not the the state pen. And to me, that reminds you of, and I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, because I know this is such a big part of your brand and your persona, that that idea of I choose to stay, right? Because you want to give back to students and students like that. Please explain, what is the I choose to stay message and movement all about?
Let me clarify that, because there's some people who, you know, sometimes on social media, they think when they see people wearing I choose to stay shirts or saying, listen, I want to thank everybody for choosing to stay, that we're shaming or complaining about people who've left the profession. No, everybody has a right to make that decision. And in the conditions that we're working in now, listen, over 100,000 people have left the profession this year, close to 200,000. So, you know, no shame on anyone who decided that they just couldn't do it anymore. 20 years ago, I wrote a book titled I Choose to Stay. It was about, I was a teacher in a middle school in Philadelphia, in the inner city, and I got a call to take an AP job at another middle school, and it was in the middle of the school year. I got a call from the chief of staff, superintendent, on a Friday to report to a new school on Monday. And I told him respectfully, I have to turn it down. I've been teaching these kids for years that money just, we don't do this for money. So for me, and then the chief of staff said, yeah, but you know, this job is a $20,000 raise. I said, how much? But I said, but I'm going to have to turn it down, because the timing is just not right. You want me, these kids are going to come in on Monday and won't see me. I've been here for years, one of the few male role models. I can't leave like that. And so the superintendent said, chief of staff said, there'll be other opportunities. And the kids, when the course rumors around the school was, you know, I turned down a $40,000 raise, a brand new BMW and all. But the idea was, the student said, listen, thanks for choosing to stay, you know, for us. You know, we choose to stay. You know, someone was like, listen, I can go to any school out, you know, but I'm here because of the adults, you know, that are here. And that's really how that choose to stay mindset started. So it didn't become sort of my brand until years later. But now it's, you know, we got t-shirts of people wearing with different sayings on the back. But the idea is, and you may choose to stay, it may be in a job, it may be in a relationship, maybe in a relationship with a family member, with a friend, a spouse, in a community. It doesn't matter. Just make the choice. It's a bold choice. Make the choice to stay, because oftentimes we give up, and right after that, we realized there was an opportunity for us to make an impact. Now, I'm not telling people don't move on, because I won't be in the job I'm in forever, because if I don't move on, how will anybody ever get promoted into my position? So we don't need people staying in jobs for 30, same position for 30 and 40 years. So if that opportunity had come, because I did eventually move up to the AP position, but the timing was better. But the idea is, when we choose to stay, we make the choice. And it's really about why we make the choice, not that we made it. It's important we made it, but why we make it. Because sometimes we have to choose to leave for our own mental health, for the benefit of our families. And that choice, but when we go, wherever we go, then we make that choice to stay, you know, where we are. But the idea is, make the choice, be proud of it, and then when you have to leave, just do it in the right way. And also make sure that you stay connected. Because even people who've left the profession, I'm so proud of this, they often talk about, and they do it on Twitter a lot, how they stay in touch with the teachers from their school, stay in touch with the kids. I love that. That they realize that this job is not just a job. People don't realize what teachers and administrators are going through. That this is a ministry for us. And these children will keep us on our toes and our knees every day. We've got to pray for them. And we know this is God's work. It's a calling. It's a community, and it's a noble. And see, I worry about the state of our profession now is, how are young people going to want to become teachers when they see how teachers and administrators are being treated? We found out a lot during this pandemic how society in general really felt about teachers and administrators in our schools. We learned a lot, for good or for bad. You know, we learned a lot. The idea is, make the choice, be proud of it. Whatever your choice is, be proud of it, and just make an impact no matter where you are.
Well, you know, talking about making an impact, I sort of selfishly asked you the question about explaining the movement there, because you've made an impact on me in the sense that not only did I hear you speak in person earlier this year, but As I left that job and now have returned really to the job I had before, I kind of kept that in mind, the whole I choose to stay, because there's no other profession that I can see myself doing. I love education. I love being in education. And I love getting to do this, you know, getting to talk to other inspiring educational leaders and putting content out there to inspire other educators. But I just, there were a lot of things that I felt like I couldn't do, I guess, in the role that I left. But I went to one that I knew would make me and my family happy, but that would continue to let me lead and inspire the way that I feel better doing it. And so, you know, just thank you for that message, because to me, it wasn't about like leaving the profession or making people right. feel bad for making choices that make sense for them and their family. It was really about just moving towards something that just felt more right and more aligned with my why, you know, for doing what I do and my purpose in education, or how I feel, what I feel my purpose is.
And I'm proud of you for making that decision, because a lot of times as educators, we're made to feel guilty, like if we decide we want to do something else, move somewhere else. And there's so many people who stay in jobs that they're not happy in. And when you're not happy in a job, you're not serving at your fullest potential, your full strength. It's better for you to make that decision and take on a role where you know you can give your all. But people stay in these jobs because, I'm sorry, they're worried about what people are going to think. No, we're in an era. We got to stop making people feel like they can't move. You know, when your time comes, it's time, and you know it. I moved away years ago, and it wasn't right for me, and I came back, and there was no shame. There are people who move away and don't return. They're worried about people saying, you know, oh, you moved away. You didn't know. You didn't give it a chance. I just knew it wasn't for me. A short time. It wasn't for me. I don't have to eat a whole pie to know it don't taste good. So I knew it was time to come back. I came back, right back into the same school district, and just kept going. Like the kids say, back like you never left. So I'm proud of you for making that decision and not sitting and festering, you know, for years and wondering what if, what if, what if. No, follow your passion. Follow your heart. You stayed in the profession and you're making a difference. You're making an impact. That's why we chose this. There's no more noble profession. Maybe the soldier who's out there fighting for our country. Not maybe, but the soldier, yes. The soldier who's fighting, that person, that's my hero. But after that, these educators who are out here serving our children, these people working in these hospitals, ambulance drivers and nurses, just anybody who's taking care, who is serving. If you're serving, then you have an immediate and powerful impact that you are making. So I'm so glad that we were able to connect, and I'm happy that you invited me on the podcast, but also glad to that you and I are going through this journey together, connected on social media, and I will always make sure that I'm, you know, stay in touch, because you are someone who's making a difference. And you know, we need more men. This is a profession that's 90%+ women. These women have been carrying us for over 200 years. We need more men to step up, especially more bald men.
I was gonna say, you know, we share the same haircut and everything. Yeah,
they gotta step up, man. Yeah. But listen, you keep following that journey. Keep following, because it's your journey. And that's what I want you to think about. It's your journey. This is my journey. I know there are people who say, man, how come you aren't a superintendent? There are people with less experience. You got your doctor in them. I said, yeah, that's their journey. My journey is to be this principal in this school with these children. At some point, I mean, listen, I turned down a $1.1 million contract, an interview for a job. It just wasn't, I just wasn't for me at that time. It's my journey. It's your journey. And together, we're going to change this world, brother.
I can't think of a better way to kind of wrap up the episode, and I'm going to end it there. I don't know if there's anything more that you'd like to say, but I think that was a really perfect way to end. So I'm just going to thank you for your time. I also really appreciate being connected with you now. I think it's also a really great time to get you on the podcast as we come into this new calendar year, hopefully a little more refreshed, rejuvenated. In all transparency, we're recording this between the Christmas holiday and New Year's, and I don't know what school will look like, if it's going to look a little bit different in another week or so after we get back. Who knows, with the pandemic raging right now. But I just know that we need to come back in January and really... I know I'm coming back with the mindset of, like, I've been back in my role now for a little over a month, and I really want to kick it into high gear and make the second half of this school year special for my school and for the staff, especially in terms of their instruction, and to hopefully kind of forget about all of the things that have been weighing them down the first half of the year, and just to really focus on the things that are going to lift them up in the second half. So that's why I think the timing is perfect. Thank you so much for your time. And, I really appreciate it. It was a great message for the listeners too.
You got it, brother. And the teachers out there, you're making a difference. You truly are. If nobody else tells you, you got two men right here telling you, you're making a difference. You are impacting lives. We're thankful for you. And all you leaders and administrators out there who are serving and taking care of those teachers. We don't often talk about you, but yes, you're struggling as well. And we want to offer our support. And thanks to you as well for supporting those teachers and children and families out there. God bless you, brother, and a safe and happy new year to you. Thanks again.
Same to you. Thank you. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.